Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Our text for this morning is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter, beginning with the 41st verse. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it, but supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. And we pray. These are your words, dear Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. The worst kind of embarrassment is the kind where you go the whole day and don't even realize it until the very end of the day how you had done something embarrassing that whole day. And one time when this unfortunate scenario happened to me, I remember just sort of staring blankly when I realized what I had done and thinking, who did I see today? Did they notice? You know, maybe no one noticed. You just don't, you know, you hope and you pray they didn't notice. My unfortunate situation was that I had actually worn a sweater backwards all day long. And it might not seem like too severe of a thing, but this, it wasn't that long ago. It was like 3 years ago, 3-4 years ago. And I was pastor, you know. Pastors were supposed to have our act together a little bit more than that. And it wasn't just like this was, you know, a day where I was just writing a sermon or something and no one saw me. It was like this was the day that everyone saw me. I went out and I was doing visits and shut-in visits and had a very productive day. And then even stuff in the evening, I had a campus ministry Bible study at the nearby university. And so it just was like a long day. I felt like everyone had seen me. And it wasn't just like a sweater that's reversible and you don't notice. It's kind of one of those where it's like even in the front, it kind of has this, not, it wasn't a V-neck, but it had kind of that stitching like that, and so it was backwards. And the worst is I had noticed in the day, like by my tie, I was like, oh, this is clumping kind of funny here by my tie, and yet even still, I was oblivious to it. Sometimes, you know, we just miss the obvious. And our lesson for today, we certainly see that a bit with Mary and Joseph trying to find Jesus. We learn for ourselves too, you know, don't miss the obvious when it comes to Jesus. He is where we should expect him to be. And he's doing the stuff that we should expect him to be doing. The text brings this out pretty starkly. I mean, Mary and Joseph, it highlights they had a tough time finding Jesus. They juxtapose that with Jesus' questions, pretty sharp, saying, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" He makes it sound like it should have been obvious. The text kind of makes it clear how this could happen and that Mary and Joseph weren't so neglectful with it. They traveled to the feast, and in traveling back, they had figured Jesus had gone with other relatives. Someone else responsible was watching him. And that led to the confusion, and yet it took 3 days to find Jesus. In the end, he wonders, why did you seek me? Don't we miss the obvious when it comes to Jesus too. Jesus was in the obvious place, he makes it clear, the center of God's word, the temple. And yet at times, well, we're a little bit oblivious to where we should really look to find Jesus' message, to find what he has to say for us, what he wants us to believe, how he wants us to live our lives, what he wants us to do. Isn't it something that we should expect should be in the book, the one thing he has had handed down from age to age, the writings of Scripture, where it actually says the stuff that Jesus said and did? It should be obvious to us, and yet in our sinful nature, we often run around in different places wanting to hear what we think is what Jesus has to say for us. We forget also to be concerned about the Word. You know, Jesus took time to be in that temple in the Word with those teachers, talking about it and so forth. And sometimes for us that can easily become an afterthought or a chore. He went out of his way for it. Often we, instead of going to the sure Word of God, we like to make God how our opinions and our feelings go instead of the plain literal words that he's given us. And, you know, then when we do that, God conveniently becomes, in our mind, more how we want him to be rather than how he is. Then God's plans we make into what I think he should be doing. And if he's not working this or that way in my life, then I'm going to, I don't know, not pay attention to him as much or ignore him. Or when we think about maybe sin, we easily make right and wrong kind of fit us better. We're going to be harsh on the sins that we maybe don't feel we have a problem with, and the sins that are weak spots, God conveniently gives allowances for that in our mind. So again, we're leaving the Word for that. You know, when I had that horrible event with my sweater on backwards, the tough part about it was that day of all days, I actually had felt like was a pretty good day. Things had gone really well. The Bible study had gone really well, and I came home thinking like, oh, wow, this is pretty good. I'm, you know, not so bad at this. And then when I realized the sweater was on backwards and I was kind of staring off blankly, I thought to myself, you are the worst, most incompetent human being of all time. And that's how fast our feelings can fluctuate from feeling like, you know, a boss to, you know, what am I doing with my life? And so if we don't avail ourselves to the Word of God and instead are kind of winging it by our feelings, yeah, we're going to be up and down and all over the board on things. Sadly, that's often how we lead our lives at times and ignore the plain Word of God. And like Mary, we not only have trouble finding, you know, where we should expect Jesus to be or speak to us, sometimes we have trouble figuring out what he should be doing. Or, you know, here he makes it pretty clear he's about his Father's business. He's doing the stuff that should be expected of him to do. Sometimes we miss what should we expect Jesus to do or to be like. You know, he wants our spiritual good. He's about his Father's business. He cares about spiritual things, about keeping and preserving us in the faith, about our spiritual good, and sometimes he has to allow trials and difficulties in our lives too. Sometimes we miss the boat. We forget that that's his chief concern, and instead think that he should be a mere wish-granting sort of God in our day-to-day life. Though in our sinfulness we often kind of miss what should be obvious, the things that what Jesus, you know, where he should be and what he should be doing, we can rejoice that he is very clear about where he is and what he is doing for us too. He was there in the temple, the center point of God's word at that time. And he makes so much to us clear in that same word to us today. He, though true God, went to do the Father's business and come to this earth. He didn't stay up in heaven, distance from us. The Father, right from the beginning, made this plan, this business, to come to save. And Jesus is a part of that. Took on human flesh and lived among us. Why else would he come to this earth if not to help and to save us? And we see he did this by being perfect, following through on the Father's business for us, following God's law perfectly to make up for those inadequacies and sins on our part. And then what's more, he went and died on the cross and rose again for us, for the forgiveness of our sins and to give us a resurrection of our own to eternal life. Isn't it ironic that this text, here he is in the temple talking likely to maybe priests, teachers, things like that. When Jesus is crucified, people associated with the temple were the ones who were the main movers in getting Jesus crucified. I wonder if any of those involved with his later crucifixion were hanging out with Jesus here. But it's interesting that he came and even talked with them knowing he's going to die. And in doing so, save us, taking away our sins, and giving us assurance of a resurrection and eternal life with his resurrection. And all of these he makes ours, our possession, by working faith in our hearts. He has to find us, and he comes to us and finds us in his word and his sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. There in the sacraments, he gives us a very tangible thing, the very thing that he instituted to show and bestow on us forgiveness of sins, to work and strengthen faith in our hearts as well. And so it is a wonderfully clear thing where he is and what he's doing for us. So thankfully, we want to take to heart from this lesson not to miss the obvious with Jesus. We know where he is. We know what he's doing for us. Though true God and being everywhere, he comes and speaks to us in his word. And his business is taking care of us spiritually, even eternally. Hopefully I'm not alone and having, you know, that embarrassing story, you know, instance where you miss the obvious. Maybe you've had something stuck in your teeth all day, or maybe a bounce dryer sheet stuck in your pants that you forgot, or something along those lines. There are times where we realize, yeah, we missed the obvious. But thankfully, looking at God's word, what a joy it is that he makes himself obvious to us. He comes to us. We don't miss the obvious when it comes to him. We know where he is. He brings us his message and his word. We know what his business is, saving us and giving us everything for our eternal good. Amen.